Well, good morning, church family, and good morning to those that are listening and watching online our sermon, our time together like this. And I wanted to begin by just wishing you once again a Merry Christmas, and even though it's just yesterday, it's still early enough to hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And now, a couple of days from now, it will be a new year. So, Happy New Year as well. That begins on Friday. And what a year it has been for us all, a year that we will never forget. But even though it's been a challenging, difficult year, and we're not through this yet, let us never forget these words that God had for Joshua as he faced an overwhelming situation. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Aren't those great words? Aren't those important words for us today even, with everything that we're going through? And we're now, even today, beginning a new lockdown, and we're into this new season now of having to just, live through these restrictions of not gathering, of staying home and staying safe. And so I do want to just to begin with this announcement that due to this new lockdown that began today, we will not be able to meet in person for our Sunday morning services until January 24th. And that is even if they lift the lockdown restrictions by then. So basically, we want everyone to know in our church family, those listening, those in our community, that once again, we won't be able to gather. However, we will be each week recording our sermons and anything else that we want to be able to put on our website for you to be encouraged with. But we will be downloading this information, these sermons, onto our website weekly for you to view and for you to hear. Now, you can still be church when we can't meet together in person. So until we can gather in person in large numbers, I encourage you, continue to check in with one another. And you can do that through phone calls and through texting and through emails. But just keep up that connection. Drive-by waves are good. Outdoor hellos are good too. But just keep on connecting the safe way that you know how to. And boy, just think, what a celebration it will be when all this is over. And this will be over one day. This too shall soon pass. And while we wait for that time to come, as a church family, as believers in Jesus Christ, as we wait, let us wait upon the Lord. For your spiritual life matters. No matter what's happening in our world, what's going on in your life today, your spiritual life matters. So keep talking to God, keep reading your Bibles, keep studying your Bibles, memorize Scripture, sing praise songs to Him, play worship music in your home, all these things that keep Christ at the center of your life. Now, with the starting of a new year, 2021, on Friday, I challenge you also, and I pray about this, but think about this, what do you want to have different in your walk with the Lord as a new year approaches? So again, as one of your spiritual leaders, think about where you're at in your walk with the Lord. And what do you want there to be different about it? What do you want to see changed in your walk with the Lord? For example, perhaps you want to be able to hear the voice of God more clearly. Or perhaps there's one of the fruit of the Spirit that you really need to work on. Whether it's love, joy, self-control, perhaps it's patience. Whatever comes to your mind, commit yourself to it and grow spiritually and deeper with God. So that's just a New Year's challenge that I'm giving you today as we approach 2021. Now, as we come to God's Word in just a moment, I do want to start with a moment of praise and a moment of prayer. And so please join me as I sing this chorus. It's a very simple chorus. I'm going to sing it through twice, and I'm sure even by the second time I'm singing it, you will have recognized it, and you'll be able to sing along as well. So let me just sing this chorus and have this time of prayer to to prepare our hearts for God's word that I will open in a moment, but not only to prepare our hearts, but to help us to focus on how great and how loving and how wonderful our Lord is. Despite all that is going on in our life today, you know, we always need to turn back to God. We always need to remind ourselves and of how great His presence is and how wonderful that He is a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. So let me sing this song just as we begin together. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, and He's my fortress, and He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to do that again. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, and He's my fortress, and He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this new day. We thank You that we can come to You and that we can sing about how great You are at being our Savior, our Deliverer, our Rock, and our Refuge. Lord, as we come to Your Word, we pray, Lord, that Your Word will find our hearts open and able to receive truth from You that we can apply to our lives. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You, God, that there is no one like You. And God, we put our trust in You today. We thank You that You are a God who knows every detail of our lives. And so, Lord, now we just surrender our lives to You and pray that You would just help us and guide us through the troubles that we're going through. And we thank You that You are a God who makes a way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. When being tempted in the wilderness, Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's Matthew 4, verse 4. And the Message translation says it this way: "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth." So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I've titled our sermon today as "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Just think about those words. The battle belongs to the Lord. You see, we all face trials and we all face battles in life. Perhaps in our job, our family life, battles against temptation, against thoughts of worry and depression. Battles for mental or physical health, as well as spiritual battles for another person or to move forward spiritually ourselves. We all face trials and battles in life. In Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Now, the word "seek" is a very strong word. It means to pursue. It means to go after with all your might. So what are you seeking in your life today? Are you seeking God passionately, or do you just kind of have a ho-hum relationship with God? Is God the main thing in your life, or is He just on the sideline? So think about that word "seek," to seek after God. And a familiar phrase at this time of the year after Christmas is, wise men still seek him. Are you seeking God passionately in your life? Do you let him into all areas of your life, or just certain things in your life? Is all of your life open to God? These are important questions to think about every now and then when it comes to our spiritual walk. Is God involved in what you watch and in who you hang out with? Is he involved in how you spend your time or your money? How about the way you treat your neighbor? You see, we need to let God be involved in every area of our life, and that's not easy to do. We need reminders. We need encouragement as the body of Christ in this area. But the wonderful thing is we have an intimate relationship available to us. We can have close fellowship with God because Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth, wants you to know him. And then he wants you to make him known in this world. And I hope you understand how exciting that is. For you will find no other joy, no greater love and peace and strength in this world apart from being in a right relationship with God. You can know God and be with him anytime, in any place, anywhere, for he loves you so much. And throughout his word, he invites you and he invites me to be near to him and to know him more. James 4, verse 8, one of my favorite life passages, verses is, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, thus says the Lord. And one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. There is nothing more wonderful than the presence of God. And you can know his powerful and loving presence when you repent of your sins, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. For every now and then, there are people, and perhaps you're one of them, that wonders, what must I do to be saved? Well, the word of the Lord says in the book of Acts, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And let me tell you, when you put your life in God's hands, when you surrender your life to him, your life will change, and it will be better than ever. Scripture passages like the one in Psalm 27, verse 4, prove to us that if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, he will fight your battles. Because the next verse in this psalm says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. When we love him and seek him, he lifts us up over our enemies. God lifts us up over our trials and our hardships. So we need to abide in him. We need to rest in his love each and every day. So whatever we face, whatever you're facing today, the Bible reveals the key strategy to experience a victory. And King Jehoshaphat from the Old Testament shows us God's way to victory in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 30. And I want to start by setting the scene here, because this passage takes us to the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, where King Jehoshaphat was king, who ruled for 25 years, and he was one of the good kings of Judah. But in this passage, King Jehoshaphat, he's facing trouble in a big way. So let me read to you this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazeron Tamar. So this is how the passage begins, and we learn right away what that trouble is. After hearing these reports, King Jehoshaphat is alarmed, he is concerned, enemy armies are approaching, and he is afraid. And the first thing we do, and the first thing that we learn from this passage is that not just one, but three armies are coming against the people of God. And there was no way out. They could go nowhere. They had to face this enemy. And the first thing that we should do, anytime we have a problem approaching or an enemy approaching against us, the very first thing that we should always do is seek God. And King Jehoshaphat knew that. Let me read to you what happens next. In verse 3 to 4. So alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So, what happens? Well, after hearing these reports, Jehoshaphat, he's alarmed, he's afraid, which is quite natural. But look at what he does with this fear, with this concern. He turns to the Lord in prayer, and he proclaims a fast across the land. And here I want to pause and just remind you and remind myself as well, prayer is the greatest weapon that we have as God's children. It is the powerful key that gives us victory against every oppression. When facing overwhelming odds, and when you may, you know, not even feel like praying, there's only one thing to do. Keep praying. Keep coming to the Lord in prayer. As you're walking the streets, as you fall on your knees in your room, as wherever you are, pray. Jehoshaphat, the word of God says, inquired of the Lord. He set his face determinedly to God and inquired of the Lord. And not only that, he proclaimed a fast throughout the land. And the people, how did they respond? The people responded in unison as the king cried out to God at the temple. I love how it says that the people came from every town in Judah to seek him. This is our response to trouble. Prayer together. Whenever we get hit with some kind of bad news, yes, sometimes we get afraid. We get worried. We get overwhelmed and concerned. But just because we get into fear, it does not mean we have to bow down to that fear or let this spirit of fear control us. Fear is a feeling, but you do not have to let it control you. You know, God wants us to keep our eyes on him no matter what we are feeling. It is normal and it's natural to become afraid, but we do not have to let fear rule our hearts. That's an important lesson in this passage as well. So how does King Jehoshaphat deal with the source of this fear? Well, he seeks the Lord and he proclaims a fast over all Judea. Those are two important spiritual disciplines for believers today as well that can help us keep God at the center of our lives and keep our focus on him. The spiritual discipline of prayer and the spiritual discipline of fasting. Notice what King Jehoshaphat didn't do. He didn't first run to his family and friends. He didn't first run to his advisors or any type of beach resort where he could escape. He did not go directly to his military commander or intelligence officers. He did not run to the woods to hide or start some unhealthy habit. You get where I'm going with this. He turned first to God. He set his mind to seek God. He knew that seeking God in this situation was not just a little option or something he could do if he wanted to. He knew it was vital for him to hear from God if he wanted to defeat his enemies. And this is what he did. It is always wise to seek God first, to see what he has to say about the situation. For God promises that he is not against us, but that he is for us. And when you go to God with whatever trouble or trial, whatever enemy that is approaching or that you're dealing with, go to God and admit your weakness. Admit your limitations. Look at how Jehoshaphat does that in verse 12. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Did you hear the words that Jehoshaphat used there to express his weakness and his limitations. And this is what he does. He goes to God. And when you come to God with a problem, you have to first admit that you can't deal with this problem on your own. You need God's help to get you through it. And King Jehoshaphat humbles himself. He turns to God for help. He looks to the all-wise and all-powerful one. Jehoshaphat knew that they were no match for the enemy. So he turns to God in prayer. And he trusted in the power of God. And it's okay, like King Jehoshaphat, to say before God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I can't handle this on our own. And clearly, King Jehoshaphat knew that they were outmatched. They were outnumbered. He's saying, God, you know, I'm weak and I'm weary. I need you. And isn't it great to know and believe that God always has the answer to our problems? He always knows what to do. But first, when you go to God in prayer, humble yourselves before the Lord. Admit your weakness and limitations and trust in His power and His might and in His strength to carry you through. James 4 verse 6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. But again, we can't forget that King Jehoshaphat is scared. He's fearful. He knows he's outnumbered. He knows he has such a big problem, but he realizes that, you know, if God doesn't help, it's going to be the end of him and his people. So all he can do is call upon God. All he can do is rely upon God. And isn't it great to know our life is in God's hands because of how big and how great God is? Jehoshaphat knows that he could count on God. And I love the faith expressed by King Jehoshaphat in this passage. Now, we might not understand the outcome of events, the results of what and why everything that happens when we give our lives over to God. But again, there is no one like our God to put our faith in. And Jehoshaphat knew he could count on God. Just look back to what he declared about God in his prayer earlier. Listen to how he describes God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. This is what he says. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Did you hear how Jehoshaphat described God? Could you hear his faith in who God is? He says, power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. No one can withstand you, O God. When you turn your trials over to God, when you turn your enemy and hardships over to Him and trust Him and fight it God's way, it's no longer your battle, but His battle. It is His battle and His victory. And so in response to King Jehoshaphat coming and bowing before the Lord in prayer with his people and saying, God, we are in a crisis. We need you. Without you, we are lost and we are going to come to our end. It's important to see that's how Jehoshaphat first responds. And in response to Jehoshaphat and the people of God seeking God and standing before the Lord, God spoke then through a man named Jahaziel to them. Listen to what God spoke through this man, verses 14 to 15. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. What a message. The battle is not yours, but God's. So in response to King Jehoshaphat, God said, you do not need to fight this battle, but you will need to take a stand on the promise of God and believe on your victory through him. Look at verse 16 to 17. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So the Lord tells Jehoshaphat, go down against the enemy tomorrow. Take up your positions, stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. This deliverance is a picture also of our salvation. In salvation, we cannot do anything. God does it all. I love that part in verse 17 of chapter 20. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. So what did they have to do? They had to, of course, obey the word of God and still go out and meet and face the enemy head on. But that all they had to do was just that. And then watch the Lord give them victory. They still had to get up. They still had to go and meet their Goliath. They had to go and face the enemy that outnumbered them. But all they had to do, though, was stand before them and believe. Believe in what God had promised. That he would be with them. That he would deliver them. Now, in verses 18 to 30, we have the results, the conclusion of this story. Let me read it for you. Verse 18 to 20. So Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as the people of God began to praise the Lord, and as they fell down in worship before him in verses 18 to 19 that I just read, God began a mighty work of deliverance for his people. When the army went out for battle the following morning, King Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. In fact, it was this worship team and not the battle-hardened soldiers that were placed at the head of the army. And seeing this strange action, I'm sure the enemy may have been laughing their heads off seeing this sight. Who allows singers to approach a battlefront? Anyways, what were they singing? What were the singers focusing on? Well, it was on a well-known worship refrain that spoke about God's enduring love. And this is what they sang over and over again. They sang, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Who knows what kind of tune they sang that to, but think of the mighty words of that verse. And will you, perhaps, make that into the song of your heart today? And I'd encourage you, just as we see here in Scripture, maybe speak that in your house over and over today. Maybe put a new song to these words in your home today for whatever battle that you are facing. Boy, it's an encouraging verse, and it's a verse of declaration of not only who our God is and why we give thanks to Him, but that His love endures forever. And so as they sang this over and over again, as the people of God are reflecting on the love of God, the Lord brings confusion. The Lord brings disarray to the enemy's camp. And over they sang, lifting their praise higher and higher to God. And no doubt the soldiers joined them, and the commanding officers, and King Jehoshaphat himself, thundering this sound of praise across the hills toward En Gedi. Now, again, this strategy would appear to be foolish, and it's nonsense to those that, you know, were seeing this happen. In the first place, what are they doing? Well, they're giving up all hope of surprise. The enemy armies would have heard them coming before they saw them coming. And even the deaf could hear this army coming. They were so loud in singing this. Meanwhile, even though this is the strategy, this is how God has told them to approach the enemy, something strange is happening in the enemy camp. And as the men of Judah came closer, and as I read how this story ends, the sound of singing confused all of those enemy armies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, those from Mount Seir. Precisely what happened is unclear. The Bible simply says the Lord set ambushes against them. Perhaps in the supernatural world, what God did was sent His angels to join the battle somehow. Perhaps He caused them to fall into their own traps. But what we do know is that they destroyed one another. The enemy armies began to fight against each other, and an amazing victory unfolds. And it unfolds before the eyes of King Jehoshaphat and his men. So as you stand against the odds, as you come against overwhelming battles, as a new year approaches even, will you too reflect on God's unfailing love, which endures forever? Will you put your faith in a God who promises never to leave you nor forsake you, that He will come through for you and often in unexpected ways, for His love never fails? This victory that unfolds right before the eyes of King Jehoshaphat and his men, I'm sure, bewildered them, but they knew that their God was an all-powerful God and that nothing was impossible with Him. They had to face their enemy still. They still had to march toward the enemy, but then stop, stand, and watch and see God give them deliverance. But that is all they had to do because God had promised them deliverance. They obeyed God's word. That's a good example for us in this passage today. They heard God's word and they obeyed it. They stepped out in faith and watched God give them victory over the enemy. So again, I ask you, will you step out in faith and trust God with your life, with your needs, with any enemy or trouble surrounding you? Will you worship him in prayer and praise as your first response to your hardship? Listen not only to his voice, but when you hear it, do as he commands. That day, King Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah won a battle. They won a battle that they never fought. The Bible is specific on this one point in this battle, that not one enemy escaped. Just think about that. Think about how complete God's victory was over the enemy. Not one enemy soldier escaped. Not even one survivor. Every man that came to fight against the people of God died that day. The men of Judah, they never shot an arrow. They never threw a spear. They didn't fight at all. They marched out, and they marched out with praise and worship leading them, singing. And by the time they got into the battlefield, it was over. Just like God said. Great things happen to us when we realize our powerless condition and then trust in a powerful God. The key to this victory is found really at the end of Jehoshaphat's prayer. I want to bring you back to that. What did Jehoshaphat pray? He prayed, God, we have no power. We have no power to face this vast army that is coming against us. He admitted his limitations. He humbled himself and said, God, I cannot do this. We need you. And have you ever felt that? Perhaps even this week you have felt that in some type of situation that you're in. And if you are there right now, don't despair. For God delights to intervene on behalf of powerless people who believe in a great and powerful God. Judah didn't need a large army, a small army, or an army at all. As long as the nation depended on the Lord, he would fight her battles. Why? Because the Mighty One will deliver his people. He is our God who saves, who rescues his people. Corrie ten Boom, author of The Hiding Place and survivor of the German concentration camps, used to have people come up to her. And they would say to her, Corrie, my, what great faith you have. And she would smile. And she would reply by saying, no, it's what a great God I have. We can be confident in a time of crisis if we let our great need drive us to prayer and faith in our great God. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the example of King Jehoshaphat, who humbled himself before you, God, and admitted that, God, he needed you for a very difficult crisis facing him. And thank you, God, for how you, God, gave them victory. You delivered them from the enemy. And we thank you, God, that when we put our faith and trust in you, God, help us to believe that you also will help us through whatever hardship comes our way. We thank you today again for Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. Thank you, God, that when we put our life in your hands, Lord, Lord, everything changes. Thank you for the peace and the love that you bring. Thank you for the strength and the power that you give to us to help us live for you each and every day. God, for those even right now that need that increase of faith, Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name you would provide that for them in their life and family today. Thank you, God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So help us, Lord, to continue to be a people of prayer and a people of praise and a people who keep coming back to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's, as I mentioned earlier, please continue to stay tuned to our weekly sermons that will be downloaded on our website. Continue to connect with one another. And again, continue to just keep your life centered on God's word. And just, you know, this morning I started with this little chorus, and we're just going to end it. We're just going to end it together, sing it through twice. The words are, praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to sing it even without the guitar. Okay, let's sing together. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock and he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. I'll end it right there, but what a wonderful blessing and benediction on this beautiful day. God bless you.